Leviticus 23. We are going to finish tonight, this very night, Feast of Pentecost.
John, you know why it's called Levi's Tookus?
Quickly.
Did you say anything wrong?
Levi's. Leviticus 23, verse 16. Even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall you number 50 days, and you shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. And you shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deals. They shall be of fine flour, they shall be baked with leaven, they are the first fruits unto the Lord. And you shall offer with bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year, and 1 young bullock, and 2 rams. They shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord, with their meat offering, and their drink offerings, even an offering made by fire of sweet savor unto the Lord. Then you shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering, and 2 lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of peace offering. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before the Lord with the 2 lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And you shall proclaim on the selfsame day that it may be a holy convocation unto you. You shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. Okay, that's the Levitical description of what takes place in terms of the offerings on the Feast of Pentecost. Now, the Talmud declares that the wave offerings, the 2 loaves that are leavened, are unclean unless certain things happen. They have to kill the goat and the 2 lambs, because it's the blood of the goat and the 2 lambs that sanctifies the 2 loaves. In fact, there's all kinds of complex things whereby if, for instance, if the loaves have to be baked at a certain time in a certain way with regard to when the blood is put on. So, I mean, everything is dependent on the blood. Let me just leave it for that now. Now, I want to talk about these loaves, and then we're going to go back and talk about this wave offering for a minute. As I said, these 2 loaves are prepared from the best wheat grown in the best district of the country. As we said, they probably were grown in a field that was set apart in the Garden of Gethsemane. They were brought to the temple in sheaves. They were thrashed, and the whole threshing floor process. And this all had to be done within the temple. It couldn't be done external to the temple. And then they were passed through 12 sheaves to the point where no flesh would touch the flour when the hand, the high priest would have to place his hand in the flour and then draw it out. And if any of the flour touched his hand or adhered to his hand, then it wasn't sieved good enough. And again, contrary to the rule of the sanctuary, these loaves were leavened, and there was 2 of them. And these loaves, along with the lamb for each, the 2 lambs, were the only public peace and thank offerings of Israel. They're the only things that were done for the whole nation, for the everything else that covered any of the thank offering, which we'll study when we get to it, had to be a private offering, that you would do something, if you were especially grateful to God for something that occurred in your life, then you would bring a thank offering. The lambs were waved along with the flour, the sheaves, for a wave offering. Then the breast and shoulder of each, the best parts, were laid beside the two loaves and waved forward and back, up and down, facing east. Then the priests ate the sacrificial meal of these loaves and the lamb. No part could be kept beyond midnight. Now, one wave loaf and one lamb went to the high priest and his retinue. And then one wave loaf and lamb went to the officiating priesthood and there. Now, the idea of this is, it's when Christ said that except the kernel of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bring forth much fruit. He was speaking, the fruit that it was bringing was the fruit for this offering. And he was the lamb that was, he was both the lamb and the bread. He was the best wheat in the land from God's standpoint. He was sanctified throughout his total being. He was everything about him. And he then became the bread of life vis-a-vis the wave offering. But he was also the lamb that sanctified the offering. Now, he then, as the bread, the one loaf, was the bread that the officiating priesthood ate along with the high priest. But by the same token, the second bread that was leavened was now leavened with, the leaven is the Holy Spirit, or the seed of Christ that leavens. The kingdom of heaven is as if a woman took two measures of wheat and put leaven in it and it leavened. Well, he is the leaven, the only leaven that's sanctified. And he became both the bread of life and the Lamb of God. And it was typified and culminated as you being the second loaf and part and parcel of the second lamb, because bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Does it have to do with who ate which now? You're talking about the high priest ate one lamb and one loaf.
Well,
the
loaf,
officiating priest, the guy who was actually doing the stuff.
Right. One lamb and one loaf is symbolic for the Father, the priesthood. One lamb, and the high priest. The Christ.
Yeah.
Then one lamb and one loaf is for, that's why it says we are a nation of priests.
Yeah. Actually,
we are the doing the offerings.
Yeah, that's neat.
Okay? Now, at the same time on the Feast of Pentecost was when you brought your free will offerings. Everyone was required. No one could come to the feast empty handed. And your free will offerings were the offerings of whatever, where you were thankful to God for allowing you to reach this time. But there was no miserly that's a whole other story. We'll talk about that next year. The point of this is if that offering wasn't accepted, then the nation of Israel would have died. Because nothing, no new wheat that was in the land could be used until after the offering of this was accepted. Symbolically then, until this is done with understanding, then you're still eating the worm-eaten, corrupted wheat from last year, from your old system. Until you understand this, until it's accepted vis-a-vis your understanding, as you understand it fully, then you then eat of the new bread and the new lamb with the same as he did, the same as the officiating priesthood did.
And in understanding the free will offering itself.
Amen. Now, just as the officiating priesthood was offering these two loaves in the wave offering, and I know exactly when it happened, and we'll see it in a minute, is when the sound of the mighty rushing wind was heard in the temple. Now, the wave offering is a fascinating concept. First of all, the word wave, the word for wave offering is tenupa in the Hebrew, and it's probably not pronounced right, and somebody's going to make fun of you if you know it, but since none of you know anything about it, you can't make fun of me. It refers to wielding tools. It's a technical term. It's like if you lift a sickle to the grain, then you are in a process of tenupa. You are making a wave offering. If you shake flour in a sieve, It's a wave, it's tenupa, it's a wave offering. If a prophet waves his hand to heal, it's a tenupa, it's a wave offering. If a hand is raised by a prophet in judgment, the raising of his hand is a tenupa, a wave offering. It means to shake. It means to destroy. The wave, the function of the wave offering, ever and always, is to shake all things and to destroy all things, to cast down all things, so only that which is unshakable will remain. And therefore, just as the high priest or the priesthood was offering the wave offering, then the true wind of shaking came into the temple.
Immediately puts in the sickle.
And he puts in the sickle. Now, it describes the word. Okay, you won't believe this unless you see it. Go to Numbers 8.
This is when they're doing the wave offering, there's a lamb and a loaf. A
lamb and a loaf. Prepared.
11 loaf.
Right.
This is a great Bible. I just noticed it's got little tabs. Now I know why this Bible was given to me.
Numbers 8. God knew about. Is everybody understanding what I'm talking about? Numbers 8, verse 5. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the Levites from among the children of Israel, and cleanse them. And thus shalt thou do unto them to cleanse them. Sprinkle water of purifying upon them, and let them shave all their flesh, and let them wash their clothes, and so make themselves clean. And let them take a young bullock with his meat offering, even fine flour mingled with oil, and another young bullock shalt thou take for a sin offering. And thou shalt bring the Levites before the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou shalt gather the whole assembly of the children of Israel together. And thou shalt bring the Levites before the Lord, and the children of Israel shall put their hands upon the Levites. And Aaron shall offer the Levites before the Lord for an offering. And the word there is for a wave offering. The whole tribe of Levi, its function is to be the wave offering. The tribe of Levi are the people that had no land, and they were intermingled and mixed among the nation. What?
And this is why Christ said, Now you are clean.
That's right. By the word.
Prepare them for Pentecost, and this is what happened.
That's right. An offering of the Levites before the Lord, offer the Levites before the Lord for an offering of the children of Israel, that they may execute the service of the Lord, that they may be the sickle that cuts down the wheat, that they may be the instruments of the sieve, which prepares the offering.
Wow. And then they're intermingled and mixed like the
throughout leaven. The land, just like the leaven.
That's why it's a leavened offering.
Amen.
But first they have to be
cleansed.
Cut down and sieved.
Amen. Just like Christ first had to be cut down and sieved. That's why when Peter was complaining, Jesus said something to the effect about when Satan comes to shake you like wheat.
Like now, Satan is the tool.
Satan is the tool. Now, let's see. It's throughout. When you see this, it's throughout the scriptures, but a lot of it is hidden because it's bad translations. But let's go to Isaiah 19. This is with regard to shaking. Two things have to be shaken. First, the judgment must first begin at the house of God. The shaking, the offering. Then it goes and it's shaken in Egypt and then in Assyria. And Egypt is the world, Assyria or Babylon is a false religion. or vice versa. You know, I mean, it's like Assyria and Egypt are sort of, you shake.
So, it isn't just Paul saying, now you are the temple of God.
No.
It is also, now you are a nation of priests.
Amen. Okay, now Isaiah 19, it's the oracle concerning Egypt. It's the burden of Egypt, or the word concerning Egypt, concerning the world. Now, you can read the whole thing if you want to, but we're going right now to verse 16. Or in verse 15. Neither shall there be any work for Egypt, which the head or tail, branch or rush may do. There is nothing left for the world to do. It ended at Pentecost. In that day shall Egypt be like unto women. It shall be afraid and fear because of the shaking, and the word for shaking there is the wave offering, because of the wave offering of the hand of the Lord of hosts, which he shaketh over it. And the instrument for his shaking, primarily because there is no thing that will happen except his people speak it first. You've got to understand this in the economy of God. You understand?
No. It's our speaking that causes this to happen.
Amen.
Causes what to happen?
The shaking,
the end of time. It's the obedience of, by the obedience of Noah, he condemned the world. By our speaking, it is finished. Then there's nothing left for Egypt to do.
He confirmeth the word of his servants.
Amen.
It's like a mini Pentecost every time.
Amen.
It's in the Old Testament, all the prophets.
Amen, amen, amen.
How shall they God is know
except
for,
they be sent?
Or a preacher. Somebody speak to them.
It has to be spoken into time and space.
Understand? Now let's see what happens to Assyria. Isaiah 30. Verse 32. Well, let's start in verse 27. Behold, the name of the Lord cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue as a devouring fire. And his breath as an overflowing stream shall reach to the midst of the neck to sift the nations with a sieve of vanity. And there shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to err. You shall have a song as in the night when a holy solemnity is kept, and gladness of heart is when one goeth with a pipe to come into the mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel. And the Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, and shall show lightning down on it of his arm with the indignation of his anger, and with the flame of a devouring fire, and with scattering and tempest and hailstones. For through the voice of the Lord shall the Assyrian be beaten down, which is smote with the rod, and in every place where the grounded staff shall pass, which the Lord shall lay upon him, it shall be with tabrets and harps, and in battles of shaking will he fight with it. The word shaking there is the word for wave offering. For Tophet is ordained of old, yea, for the king is prepared. He hath made it deep and large. The pile thereof is fire and much wood. The breath of the Lord, like a stream of brimstone, doth kindle it. And Topheth is in the valley of Gehenna. And Topheth also, if I have any understanding, is the only high place left.
Now?
Well, symbolically. There's only two places left. Topheth and the New Jerusalem.
The bridle in the jaws of the law?
No. It's just their stupidity.
33 is why we named the covenant first.
Okay.
And what's the Assyrian symbol?
It's the same as Babylon. It's false religion. It's the whore.
Oh.
It's religion of the isolated self, fundamentally. It's self-seeking in the name of God, under anybody's name, whether it's Jesus or Jehovah or Islam or Buddha or... What?
Well, I'm just thinking that 33 is why we call that silly Captain Brimstone. Not knowing, but... Since what the brimstone is doing is attacking the isolation of the isolate, or the salvation of the isolate itself.
Okay, now let's find out what was happening in the temple. Psalm 113.
And there was so much destruction in Pentecost, you know, the idea of judgment and destruction that's never talked about at all.
Oh, I know.
That's the whole function
of the wave offering.
Yeah. But I mean, there's all this other stuff too about floods and junk like that. You know, that's another metaphor.
Okay, now, the Hallel, remember we talked about it last time we met, the Hallel is Psalm 113 to 118. The Hallel is only sung on particular times. It's a very unique set of psalms. It's sung on the 8 days of the Feast of Tabernacles. It's sung on the day of Pentecost. And it's sung on the after the... fourth cup on the Feast of Passover. Now later on, after about 200 or something BC, then they added the Hallel, but it's not scriptural. They added the Hallel for the Feast of Dedication or Hanukkah.
It's sung after the fourth cup, and it's not sung again until the day of Pentecost.
That's right.
Christ said that he would not drink fourth cup until he drank it with them in the kingdom.
That's right.
He could not have sung the Hallel until Pentecost.
That's right. Okay, here we go. The high priest and the priesthood, and there's thousands. Remember, this is this section is sung, and while it's sung, I'm sure it's in the Talmud somewhere, but I'm getting sick and tired of studying the Talmud, I got to tell you that.
I can understand
why. We appreciate
why.
Your...
Okay.
So we're going to read the Hallel?
This is the Hallel.
And where does it start?
113. And then we'll find out exactly in the Hallel when the wave offering was made. And exactly in the Hallel when the sound of the mighty rushing wind came, and the fire came down, and from the spirit, at this point in time, the world was destroyed. Egypt, Assyria are on fire.
I want to make sure the windows are closed.
What? Praise ye the Lord. Okay, now also, the Hallel can only be sung in Jerusalem. Nowhere else. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, from this time forth and forevermore. Do you have any idea what that means? Where is the name of the Lord residing? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do you have any understanding? I mean, you got to remember, you got to put yourself in the position of Christ. Christ went to all of these feasts, heard the Hallel sung all these years, and there was a slow but yet expanding, continual awareness of who he was. Do you have any idea who you are? You are in the same position. As he is in this world, so are we. And every day, there's a slow, expanding awareness of who you are.
Can I say something? I just got a feeling of how before Christ knew what his mission was, or what, you know, what was going to happen, or why he was there, he began to sense the things that we are sensing about ourselves. You know, that God is here inside of me. You know, and it's like this was a stage of his understanding, and then he realized that he was eventually, you know, at some point he realized he was the way to the power to make this universal. You know, but it's like at some point he was thinking just the same things we were, you know, about, you know, or reading scriptures like this and saying, God's, the name of God is,
it's resonant,
is in me. He didn't even know why, maybe, but he knew that it was true. And, you know, that's why.
I sometimes
shut up.
Just read it.
Consider Jesus, who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. As he is in this world, so are we. Whether it's an imagined rejection, it has to be discarded. Stack it up next to what we're about and who our identity is, and it'll pale. Consider Jesus, who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds.
What do you mean contradictions against
himself? Everything in the world was against him.
Contrary to
the abandonment of self. Contrary to the, I've set my face as flint to go unto Jerusalem. Because none of these offerings can be made. They can't be understood unless you are in the New Jerusalem. You can't understand Scripture until you're reading it from the New Jerusalem. You can't understand anything unless you're living in the New Jerusalem. Everything is a parable. Everything's a problem. You don't have any problems except to get to the New Jerusalem. If you got a problem, go read the Psalms of Ascent. All right. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same. The Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above all the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and the thing and in the earth? He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren women to keep house, and to be joyful, a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. No, you got to remember, the priests and this humongous chorus of and of trumpets and timbrels and lyres and harps and priests singing was going on. This is what they were singing. And they were doing all of the preparatory stuff for the offerings, for the wave offering. They were slaughtering the burn offering. They were doing all of the offerings up there. And everybody was looking up, and everybody was probably just like you are, preoccupied with your own shit. And all of a sudden, your mind loves to dwell in Gehenna. I mean, you'll do anything to keep from recognizing that you are the vessel of the living God. I mean, you'll love to be sad. You'll do anything. You love to be worried about stuff. Because what does it do? It establishes your own rightness. Even if it's wrong, it gives you some identity.
Well, don't you see? It's time for that to be put away. There's no justification for it. None. Zero.
Your only question is, do you see that you are hid with God in Christ? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Okay. Psalm 114. When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of a strange language, Judah was his sanctuary, and Israel his dominion. The sea saw it and fled. Jordan was driven back. The mountains skipped like rams, and the little hills like lambs. What aileth thee, O thou sea, that thou fleddest? Thou Jordan, that thou was driven back, ye mountains that you skipped like rams, and you little hills like lambs. Tremble, thou earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, which turned the rock into a standing water, the flint into a fountain of waters. The fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every creature. Believe this, in every part of creation. The whole creation groaneth until now, waiting for the redemption. It's time. Now we get this start. We're starting to get this Hallel stuff in perspective. It's power. Power beyond anything you've ever dreamed of. Not power to do little magic tricks, but efficacy to accomplish the will of God. So you no longer search for the will of God. You know you are the will of God. Now we'll understand why. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them, and so is everyone that trusteth in them. Now, you see, you don't think you do that anymore, right? You don't think you do that anymore. What?
The work of men's hands. I was thinking of the work of men's imagination.
Man. You have sat down at some arena of your life and you have personified an idol. And it's exactly what religion is teaching you to do in the name of God. They are telling you to visualize some objective. See it. See yourself in that arena, and it shall be done for you. And they're right. Because God will give them over to their worst fears. But they are worshiping an idol that looks like themselves, that has they have made, that cannot speak, it cannot talk, it cannot walk. And if you have any image of yourself or any image of this body or any image of me or an image of anyone else, you are worshiping an idol that cannot you've created in your mind. It's a graven image. Oh, I should be this way, you dumb fuck. You shouldn't be any other way than you are, a container for the Holy One of Israel. Now, if you have any idols, and I know of several that you had better confess them or you will leave this group. Okay. They that make them are like unto them, and so is everyone that trusteth in them. Can you see how every one of those images of self that you have made is a total and complete enemy of faith?
Instead of putting on the Lord Jesus, you put on this idol.
Amen.
Yeah. Whatever you think, God, your image.
Yeah. Okay. Now, the problem that I have here, you see, is that it says, not many of you should be teachers, for in many ways you will offend all. Right? The problem with being the teacher or preacher is that there is an automatic phenomena that takes place. I become an idol. Okay, we've pretty well destroyed any of that in the last 10 years. When I wear shorts, it helps destroy. Shut up. Okay.
Great teachers. Aristotle probably never wore a dress.
No, he wore a dress.
Great teachers.
Oh Israel, trust thou exclusively only in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust only in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust only in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. You are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. But the earth hath he given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forever more. Praise the Lord. Now, Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him only as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell gat hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. That's a summary command. There's a summary command going on inside of Christ here. And he's saying, he's speaking from the Spirit, saying to the soul, return unto rest. Return to the point of not being subject to sensory perception. Stop being carnal. Your carnal mind is an enmity against God. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thy handmaid. And thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. Now, as they were singing that song, the animals were being marched up to the altar for sacrifice. I will pay my vows. What does God require of thee? I beseech you, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice.
I don't know what it is that I have to say, but I have to say something in response to this song. Because on more than one occasion, I have felt the sorrows of death and the pain of hell and found trouble and sorrow all around me, and I have called out to God, and He has been there and He's delivered me. And I got to say that here.
Amen. Praise ye the Lord, all ye nations. Praise Him, all ye people. For His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Get ready. It's about to happen.
Let me ask one more. Why do they call it the sacrifice of Thanksgiving?
Well, because it's one of the sacrifices. The thank offering. Oh. It's one of the technical sacrifices. It's not... No, never mind. You're about to pee in your pants.
Forget God.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say,
His mercy endureth forever.
Let the house of Aaron now say,
His mercy endureth forever.
Wait a minute.
Mercy. That's the Hebrew. That's the Jewish word saying mercy.
Let them now that fear the Lord say,
His mercy endureth forever.
Okay, now do you see something? You are both Israel, the house of Aaron, and you that fear the Lord. I called upon the Lord in my distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will never again in my entire existence fear what any man can do unto me. I want you, every one of you, to repeat that. Especially Pam. I will, the Lord is on my side. I will never again fear what any man can do unto me.
Period. Where was that?
The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore will I set my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in any man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Didn't say anything about princesses there.
Amen.
That was the middle verse of the Bible. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that. All nations compassed me about. That means all people surrounded him. But in the name of the Lord will I destroy them because of the wave offering which is coming. What?
She made a sound effect when you said, "Oh, the Lord is destroying
me."
She went,
"They compass me about, yea, they compass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compass me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song and is become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacle of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly." Remember, the right hand of the Lord is Zeruah, seed, the essence, Christ. They're saying this. and the seed of Christ is about to flood them and all flesh. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live, and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord, this gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the head stone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will be glad and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now. Hosanna. At that moment, the priest was offering the two wave loaves. They've just said, this is the day the Lord hath made. We'll be glad and rejoice therein it. They then said, Hosanna. The moment they said, Hosanna, the sound of muddy, rushing wind, without wind, rushed through the temple. Because they said, this is the day the Lord hath made. And that's the singular day we have been living in since. You don't have to believe the lies ever again. Because this is the day the Lord hath made. We'll rejoice and be glad there in it. In it he will deal bountifully with you. In it he will give you bread and wine freely. In it you shall eat and be satisfied. In it you shall no longer work. You shall experience grace in every dimension. Okay.
Well,
now, this is the same psalm that, or the section of it, when Christ was coming into Jerusalem, and they laid the palm branches on the ground, spread their cloaks in the ground, and said, Hosanna! Save now. And then they rejected him. And now he answered them. Because. Why? What? What are you laughing at?
Well, what I'm smiling about is they say, Hosanna. The noise starts, and the next thing they say as that noise starts is, send now.
You're getting ahead of yourself.
Well, you asked me. I wasn't going to say anything.
Well, don't say anything.
Don't smile.
Don't
smile. It's not time to smile yet.
So there's, they did the hollow at Passover, so this is what they were singing, and they did it again.
Amen. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Whap! The seed of Jesus Christ was shed on all flesh.
I kind of moved back about.
Well, let me ask you this.
I have a buck.
Was this the mighty works of God that they were speaking in tongues about?
That's
right. Were they finishing this song in all the different languages, and that's what the people heard them speak?
Oh, it could be, but it didn't happen that quick. I don't think that they. It's hard to know. I mean, things got a little excited there. I mean, I'd like to think that what each of these men were doing when they were then speaking in tongues in the 70 different languages as they were saying the rest of the psalm. That would be really neat.
Me too. That's what I want to think.
I mean, it could very well be, because there was mass confusion at the altar. I mean, we're talking.
Like they might have taken.
They might have taken over the chorus
the thing
of the hall.
Just transferred from the priest to the new.
To the new
to
priesthood
Israel.
And the new Israel. Now let's assume that for a minute.
that's something I can't write down in the notes.
You shouldn't write it.
It's too heavy. I burst into flame.
Let's think about it. That it that it, I'd like to think that. Okay, let's see what it, let's see what they said.
Say what prosperity means.
Bless it, huh?
Say what prosperity.
You tell me.
A complete efficacy for a successful journey. Of the journey.
That's right.
Everything that's needed.
That's the power. It's that you may have a successful journey.
They're explaining what that noise is. Okay. Send now prosperity.
Okay.
Here it comes. Sorry.
No, I was just, you know, just kind of glancing back through all this about talking about death, and it's like they're becoming more and more aware as each song goes by what this means, what it's really growing. Means. And, you know, it's like they compass me about all these fears, all the stuff that they were scared of, and that all these people are around them compassing them about. But then, they understand, they see.
Okay, now. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which hath showed us light. I mean, we're seeing light.
Blessed be he that cometh.
Amen.
It's a he, not an it. Here it comes. Here he comes.
Amen. By now, what's the question? Now we come to what your response is. Now we come to your only responsibility. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. You are the now the living sacrifice. And you, sacrifices don't have a lot of questions.
Isaac's words.
That's right, it's Isaac. And now, and remember, beware of Isaac's fire. Once you're bound tightly to the cords of the altar, or I mean, with cords, the horns of the altar. The word for horns there, by the way, is a word that means light, but it's a brighter light than you've ever seen in your entire, I mean, it's the thing that light garments.
Word for horns?
Horn. Well, it's like the same thing they used for Moses's, when he said he had horns when he came down. So right. The horns of the altar, the same kind of a deal. It's like the rays.
It's light that, it's the light that, what light we see is the garment for.
A lousy translation.
No, it's the same. I mean, it's
like a horns where the bright things shooting out. Yeah. That's the idea. And so on the altar, there was probably things that made it the idea of brightness coming out. It looked like horns, and the same word was for
light,
for bright flashes like you get from the sun. You know, you look up there, it looks like horns, so they'd use the same word.
Okay.
You mean like a solar flare?
Yeah.
Or like the tongues of fire.
Yeah.
Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For now, even is our understanding completely, because we know that his mercy endureth forever.
I was just saying about, you know,
it's wild.
The sacrifice being bound to the altar is just another way of saying emptying, relinquishing, supplication, the idea of...
Right. Kenosis, fellowship.
Yeah.
Yielding, submitting.
You can't find yourself.
No.
Because you'll always have one arm free.
Yeah, wait a minute, God, let's leave. Can we just have one hand free? Some of us need it.
So I can reach my pina colada.
But there's so much reality in that request, bind me tightly, because at the last minute when I see the knife, I know damn well this body's going to flinch.
Right.
Are we something to teach about, or are we doing hot seats?
We're not going to continue teaching.
We're not going to continue teaching. Then will you do me a favor?
Take it, big guy.